already. Both poets were personal favorites of his. Ryan crouched at the top of the hill that led down to Hazard. The ville was less than a quarter of a mile distant now. He surveyed it through his field glasses. Christy knelt at his side, her hand resting casually on his thigh.
Look at the houses, lover. All painted white and looking brand new.
From here. You get closer up, you'll see where the whitewash didn't quite cover.
Still, it's a pleasant thought. What about the big building in the center? It looks like a hotel.
It is.
The building was 3 stories tall, bigger than any other in the ville, and only the church's steeple was taller. Pink-flowered green curtains filled the windows. A sign ran along the side of the building's second floor, reading Hazard Royale Inn.
A bed would be nice, wouldn't it? For a night or two?
Maybe.
He shifted the binoculars, taking in more of the ville. Despite the ville's peaceful appearance, Ryan didn't trust it. Memory of the 37 people who'd been butchered by Liberty and his band at the bequest of the ville's elders stuck out in his mind. No wag tracks showed in the beaten earth of the roads marked out in straight lines through the ville. Evidently it had rained lately because great washouts still showed mud in the center of the streets. A few children played in the ville square under an old tattered flag of the United States of America. A Civil War cannon, grimed over with rust that hadn't been removed despite a dogged attempt, sat in the square atop a small-shaped hill partially covered by a carpet of yellow and white daisies. More daisies thrust out from the cannon's mouth. Women talked in front of a 2-story laundry that had a generous wooden porch and hand-lettered windows. Men sat and whittled on the benches outside. It looked idyllic, but the men wore weapons, and so did some of the women. The ville wasn't a place that took kindly to strangers. Ryan knew they needed a story, and the trading one sounded as good as any.
Albert?
Yes, Mr. Cordor?
Just call me Ryan. Only Ryan. Does the ville have a healer?
Yes, Doc Kirkland.
How's he fixed for medicines?
Well, most of what he uses are herbs that we grow around the ville. The stuff you had to offer Liberty, the anesthetic and such, he'd be interested in that.
Figuring on doing some trading, Ryan?
Gives us as likely an excuse as any. We show up at the ville, people are going to be talking. When you go see the gunsmith, make sure you keep those reloads out of sight. Man will probably know his own work and wonder how he came by those shells.
Already figured it.
Ryan put his field glasses away. There wasn't anything else to do but the doing of it.
Let's move out.
A hard-looking man stepped off the porch near the laundry, holding a hand up toward the companions.
You folks want to hold up there for a minute?
The 6 members of Ryan's group, Dean included, spread out into a skirmish line.
Something wrong?
Ryan shifted his grip on the stire. But he watched the way a handful of men spread out across both sides of the street behind the man that braced them.
I just want to ask you a few questions, is all.
The man was dressed in denim jeans and a green shirt, but somebody had minded with care so that the fit was like a glove. Salt and pepper hair lay down neat and proper under a faded baseball cap advertising something called NASCAR. A hammered copper star on his chest read Sheriff.
Sure. Day's not so busy that I can't answer a question or two.
Name's Dodge. I'm sheriff of this ville.
He had a Colt 45 automatic on his hip. The restraining thong had already been slipped from the holster, hanging like a silent warning. Dusk was starting to settle around the ville, drawing long shadows through the streets. A number of people in houses on either side of the street peered through their windows.
Okay.
I need to ask you what you're doing here, son.
Came to do some trading.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you probably came to the wrong place. Hazard's got most everything it needs. We try to be a self-sufficient community.
That's what we heard when we started out this way. We didn't come with empty hands, Sheriff Dodge.
He beckoned Mildred forward. Mildred drew a lot of attention from the ville. Ryan had noticed only a handful of black people during his earlier observation, and none of them sported the colored beaded plaits woven into her hair. She opened her pack under the sheriff's supervision, bringing out a jar of the topical anesthesia. The soft blue of the jelly-like substance looked clear and clean against the glass walls of the jar.
What's that?
Topical anesthesia. If you've got a healer in the ville, you can bet your ass that he'll be interested in this.
If that's not enough, we got some Jack to spend, too. Hazard may have all it needs, but we're running low on some staples.
Oh, we don't run a charity here, mister. Nor do we cotton much to outlanders. We got our lives pretty much set. We don't like folks butting in.
That's what we heard. But we've been scavenging. Came up with this topical anesthesia, and thought maybe a place getting as civilized as Hazard would want something this good.
Do you know what a topical anesthetic is?
No.
I do.
A man in a white blazer and wire-rimmed glasses stepped out of a small building. He had a bull's neck, and his body was big to match.
I am Dr. Neil Kirkland, healer in these parts.
Yeah, I guess you would know about such things, Doctor.
If they have topical anesthesia from the pre-dark days, these people shouldn't just be allowed to trade in our vill, Sheriff Dodge. They should be our honored guests. Madam, if I may?
Of course.
She removed the lid from the container, showing that the seal hadn't been broken. Kirkland's furry eyebrows lifted in surprise. Despite the fact that he shaved his head, he sported a goatee and sideburns of fiery red hair.
Unopened?
Found it that way. Had no reason to open it so far.
Are there more of these where you found this one?
We're talking about this one.
I see. May I open it then?
Are we going to be allowed in to trade, Sheriff?
Sheriff, you may not realize it, but this is an absolute treasure.
Okay, I'll take your word for it, Doctor.
You don't have to take my word for it. Sir, whatever you want for this within reason will be yours. I do all the surgery in Hazard. If I can't get whatever you want myself, I can work out a deal with anyone in this vill.
You got yourself a deal.
Delicately, Kirkland's fingers ripped the aluminum foil seal from the topical anesthesia.
Fabulous.
You'll want to be cautious with that. It'll go a long way because of the cocaine-type base.
You know about such things?
I've done some cutting and stitching myself.
Then I'd like your company for lunch or dinner sometime before you leave Hazard.
If we can work it out.
Kirkland dipped the corner of a handkerchief into the anesthesia, then handed the container back to Mildred and turned to the sheriff.
Remember a few months back when I had to pull that bad tooth of yours?
Oh, I can't say I'm going to forget that anytime soon. I'm meaning no disrespect.
None taken. That was a frightful piece of business, and if I hadn't scraped the bone as well as I had, gangrene might well have set in, taking your life. And there's another tooth or two in that head of yours that I'm going to have to go in after one day soon. I'm sure you're not looking forward to that.
No.
Ryan watched the men behind the sheriff. Most of them had stood down where they were, getting relaxed now. He caught Christie's eye, looking a question at her. The redhead shook her head slightly, letting him know she was getting no negative feelings. Her mutability of precognition had pulled them through hard times before. There were times that Christie had known the lies they were being told as soon as they were uttered. Evidently, Kirkland was being totally honest.
Allow me to demonstrate how this works. Open your mouth, Sheriff.
If you say...
The healer scrubbed the dampened corner of the handkerchief across the inside of Dodge's lower lip.
Oh, now that's some bastard vile tasting stuff.
He then touched his lip, looking surprised.
Hey, I can't feel my lip.
Exactly. And for your consideration in this matter about letting these people into our vill, your dental work will be on me.
As long as you do it with that stuff, you got yourself a deal.
You have my word on it.
Kirkland reached for the anesthesia. Mildred kept the jar back.
We haven't talked trade yet.
Madam, I've given you my word that anything you want within reason is yours. What is it you would wish?
Rooms at the hotel, for starters.
We'll dicker from there.
As you wish. Sheriff, make it so. And anything else they want, pass the word around to the rest of the vill that I'll be indebted to them.
Sure, but they got Albert with them.
Albert? Why, yes. You've already met young Liberty, I gather.
Yeah, we settled up with Liberty. Then he sent the little man on with us. Said that way you'd know we'd already been through them.
He's demanded his tribute, I take it?
And gotten it. We had some playing cards and some knives, some selfies he said he'd never seen before. I figure he got maybe a little more than was fair. He didn't understand about the anesthesia.
And you didn't further his elucidation?
Not when a man's already committing highway robbery on me.
I'm surprised that he didn't follow you in.
Well, maybe he'll be along.
He's looking for the Sticky tribe that's come down from the north, Dr. Kirkland. They cut sign on them a few days back.
Thank you, Albert. Hopefully he'll get them all.
Kirkland took the topical anesthesia when Mildred offered it.
At any rate, I leave you in the sheriff's capable hands.
Dodge waved two fingers. Two young men joined the sheriff. One of them carried a sawed-off double-barreled shotgun. When he saw the weapon, Ryan figured that JB was feeling better already.
"He's here, my sons, Ira and Tucker. They'll show you around the Ville. And when you go to bed at night, as long as you're in Hazard, one of them will be down in the hotel lobby. When you get up in the morning, one of them will be down in the hotel lobby. You get out of the hotel without them seeing you, could be I'll feel a little unfavorable about that."
"Sure. But what if we don't plan on staying together?"
"Oh, I got plenty more deputies."
The maid paused at the top of the stairs leading to the third floor of the Hazard Royale Inn and gestured toward a line of doors.
"Here are your rooms."
She held out metal keys on circular plastic chips with numbers on them.
"If there's anything else I can get for you, Aunt Mame said to let me know, and I'll get it for you straight away."
"Are there bathtubs in the rooms?"
"Yes, ma'am."
The maid didn't look a day over 15. A mop of brown hair nearly hid her eyes, and every now and then a bit of a blue tattoo showed on the rounded cleavage she was showing above the unbuttoned green blouse. Ryan glanced at the hallway, getting its layout in his mind. It would be dark soon, and there was no guarantee they'd live through the night. A Ville's hospitality generally extended only as long as their guests' usefulness remained. Even when there were signs of civilization in some locale of Deathlands, it tended to be superficial. Then again, Kirkland was a greedy man and might be wondering how to coax more anesthetic from them. Clean and neat, the hallway formed a T at the top of the stairs. Six rooms lined the wall, promising small quarters, but at least the hint of privacy. Pictures covered the walls, set apart in handcrafted frames. Upon closer inspection, Ryan saw that they were pages torn from a magazine. All of the pictures on the pages featured beautiful old wags that Ryan had seen in magazines himself.
"Do the baths have running water?"
"No, ma'am. We'll have to bring it up in buckets."
"Are baths extra?"
"No, sir. Aunt Mame said to give you whatever you needed."
"We'll have a bath, then. And I want hot water. A lot of it."
"Yes, ma'am."
The maid dipped her head and gave Ryan the rest of the keys, then fled back down the steps.
"Enjoying your newfound wealth?"
"It's not often we're given the run of an entire Ville, lover."
Ryan's hand strayed to the butt of the Sig Sauer as he peered over Christie's shoulder. But the small room beyond was clear. A bed filled the center of the room, with a small table and a chest of drawers the only other furniture. A glass door led out onto a small balcony that fronted Hazard's main street. The sun in the west was an hour or so from disappearing behind the hills.
"I really want to enjoy myself for the few days that this lasts."
As she entered the room, Ryan glanced at JB. While they'd been with a trader, they'd sometimes enjoyed the hospitality of a Ville, but often that hospitality had come with a price. Like the trader had always said, sugar-coated shit was still shit.
"I'll take first watch. Do a changeover at 2 in the morning. Give you a knock on the wall, let you know. We'll sleep in when morning comes. Mildred and Christy can keep an eye on things until we catch up on our sleep."
"I watch. Not too tired."
"I figured you weren't. Well, maybe you could drift through the Ville after dark for a while. Get the fastest way out of here mapped, just in case."
"Right.
What about me, Dad?"
"You feel up to a little wreck, Dean?"
"Sure."
"What do you say, Jack? Your call."
"Dean, you listen? You move when I say move? Quiet when I say quiet?"
"Yeah."
"Good. Ryan, look for anything special?"
"Horses, in case we have to leave quick. Any gear we might need in a hurry if we don't have to dicker for it. Self-heats, ring pulls, road rations. JB, you gonna take a look at the gunsmiths?"
"When we finish up here, I plan on that being the next place we go. If it's open, I'll give it a look, see what's what. You gonna be around?"
"Somewhere. I'll be close."
Ryan tossed him a key. JB and Mildred walked to the next door down the hall.
"Jack, you and Dean okay with the room to yourselves?"
"Yeah, we go in, get settled, get gone soon."
"Hey, Dad, what if I find something I want?"
"Come talk to me. Maybe we'll figure something out. How about you, Doc? You and Albert feel okay about bunking up?"
"Verily, my dear Ryan, I find I enjoy my small companion's versatility for conversation. Our companionship for the nonce will be quite pleasant."
"I'll take your word for it. You gonna be around?"
"In the Ville, there's a place called Cobb's that has a reputation for good literature and fine wine."
"Keep your ass covered, Doc."
"Tighter than the proverbial ducks."
Ryan then walked into his room. Sitting on the bed, Christy wriggled her toes luxuriously, happy to finally have her blue-stitched cowboy boots off.
We've got to see if they have something that passes for a general store in the Ville, lover. And maybe get a new pair of heels. These are tore all to pieces.
Ryan nodded and crossed the room. He moved the curtain from the window overlooking the balcony. The air inside the room was thick and unmoving. He opened the balcony door and felt the circulation improve almost immediately.
What's on your mind?
Trader always had a saying about how calm water covered everything, even a man drowning in it. I look out there. All I see is calm water, where things should be muddied up some. Kirkland calls the tune in this Ville, and everybody else seems to dance. Me? I'd kind of like to know what the Piper's got under his sleeve.
Christy joined Ryan at the window. She ran her fingers across his hard, flat stomach. Ryan liked the feel of her, and liked thinking about the clean bed, and the possibility of a bath, and whatever came after. He took her hand in his, splaying his fingers between hers, and holding tight.
Maybe it's only calm water out there.
Maybe.
But the uniform calmness about the Ville unnerved Ryan. Liberty had been a cunning, heartless bastard. It gave a man pause for some reflection, thinking about what tied Kirkland to a man like Liberty. And he wasn't going to forget Albert's story about the wholesale slaughter anytime soon. Christy disengaged from Ryan.
Yes?
Ryan glanced at the young maid standing in the doorway. The girl's eyes were brazen and bold, meeting his own with no shyness.
I've got your water on the way up, ma'am. Our maid asked me to tell you, and your man, that she'd enjoy your company for supper tonight. She said to tell you that she understood it was short notice and everything.
When?
At 8 o'clock, after the evening church services.
Sure. How long is that from now?
Couple hours.
She brought her hand to her mouth. She then slowly lowered it, trailing her fingers down the gap in her blouse. Another button had evidently come loose on her trip down and back up the stairs.
She has some clothing you can borrow for tonight. She likes to have something of a formal dinner, gussied up and all.
Tell her we'll accept. Have you got a kitchen available?
Yes, ma'am. Cook is one of the best in these parts. Aunt Mame wouldn't have no other. A lot of people in the Ville set store by her larder and the meals we serve out each day.
What have you got in the way of fresh fruit and cheeses?
Apples and pears. We've got a half dozen different cheeses.
I'd like a plate sent up shortly after the bathwater.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, Aunt Mame said to tell you she had some rhubarb wine if you'd mind to sample some. She said you might be hungry from your trip, too. She said to save some space for dinner because she's having Cook do some special dishes.
Tell her thank you for us.
The maid nodded, her eyes still focused entirely on Ryan.
It's Chastity.
What?
My name. It's Chastity.
I'll remember that.
You do it. I'll see to it. You get anything you want. Aunt Mame told me to make sure your stay at the inn was a good one. Told me to see to it personal.
Christy crossed the room and closed the door in the maid's face. She turned back to Ryan, her face reflecting her amusement.
Guess we don't have to wonder where she's coming from.
No. Guess she outgrew her name some time ago.
Doubt if she remembers the passage.
Be interesting to find out if any of the others got the same invitation we got.
Yeah. And if you run into Little Miss Big Eyes outside...
I'll tell her she's late with the hot water.
You do that.
Ryan grinned, then let himself into the hallway.
Who's knocking?
Me.
Come ahead.
JB wasn't a man to creep up on. He stood in the center of the room on the table. A bed slat blocked the balcony door from sliding open. He worked the curtain cord through a bent nail sticking out from the ceiling. The nail was obviously in a new position.
You redecorating?
We walked into this whitewashed Ville. Doesn't mean angels live here. I'm just taking a few precautions to make sure we get to walk back out of here.
Mildred came back out of the bathroom.
Running water would help things, but sleeping high and dry is a good enough thought for the moment. They got a pitcher of fresh water in there if you're dry, John. Hi, Ryan. Making a social call?
Christy and me got invited to dinner tonight. Wondered if you'd been treated to the same invitation.
I got plans to see the gunsmith. Mildred and I'll figure something out for ourselves.
Probably wouldn't be a problem to set an extra plate or two.
I kind of like the idea of spreading ourselves out a little. Get what we need as fast as we can, get ourselves set